Did you watch the Michael Cohen hearing yesterday? Trump's longtime personal attorney for 10 years. Guy said he would take a bullet for Trump. And now says in front of the nation that the president is a liar, a cheat, a con man, a racist. I've run out of fingers to count. I mean, but only in America and only in this day and age would the response be, yeah, tell me something I don't know.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, good to be with you. How are you? I feel for you. You're doing all right? I really care. I can't. It's my job to be cynical. I don't even know why cynical doesn't begin with an S. What's that about? Why does this English language make things so difficult? What's up with that? What, are you trying to trick me? Why does pneumonia start with an N? What's going on with this? Why doesn't the word physical start with an F? What are you trying to do to me? I think people are purposely trying to confuse us. But that's the way it is. We live with what we have. And I think that's the theme for today. We live with what we have. But do we have to? Here's what the problem is. It's pure and simple. Here's what the problem is. Oh, by the way, the other part of the news is President Donald Trump, and I use that phrase loosely, in Vietnam for the first time ever. He certainly didn't fight there. Meeting with Kim Jong-un to try to work out a North Korea kind of peace thing. And they met, they shook hands, kissed, had sex, had dinner together. And then apparently Trump listens to the testimony on television, watches it there from his Vietnam Hanoi hotel room. And then Kim and Don have another meal together. And apparently Donald walked out and said, look, this isn't going to work. Kim, the North Korean leader, wanted all sanctions to be lifted off of North Korea. And Donald said, well, I can't lift all of them. How about some of them? And Kim said, no, lift all of them and we'll knock down oil or nuclear stuff. And Don said, I can't do that. And walked out. I have a few, and that ended the conference, and they'll meet sometime in the future, perhaps. Who knows, you know, when a new restaurant opens up. Here's what didn't make sense to me. There's all this tumultuous stuff going on about Donald Trump here in this country with Michael Cohen's testimony and so many investigations into Trump's background, his taxes, his lies and deceit in doing business. I mean, this is all like being investigated. And I'm assuming what happened was Don said, well, screw this North Korea thing. I got to get back home and take care of this crap. I have a feeling that's why he walked out. I have a feeling. Trump probably said, I can't spend time in Vietnam with this guy. I got to do some damage control. They're obliterating me back at home. I'm walking out. I'm leaving. I got better stuff to do at home, like defend myself. I think that's what really happened. That's my opinion. It's not what really happened necessarily. It's my opinion. Speaking of my opinion, at this hearing yesterday with Michael Cohen. There were some words of great depth involved. And Michael Cohen actually said it himself. What do you think, he's a liar or not? I mean, what he said was that he was a stooge for Donald Trump. He would have taken a bullet for him. He was sucked into his world of con. And Michael Cohen was warning the Republicans and many in our nation, people who defend Donald Trump. He said, he's got you under his spell. He is conning you. And someday the same thing will happen to you as is happening to me. And I thought no truer words had been spoken. You are being sucked into his world of deceit to the point where to escape his dirty gravity becomes more tenuous than being sucked into it. Here's the big problem, and this is the suck-in problem. Donald Trump has sucked in 80 to 87% of Republicans into thinking that Donald is a good guy and is doing well and should be president and is capable of doing the job and is mentally stable enough to do the job. He sucked in 87% of Republicans. And that's why you have no Republicans in Congress breaking away from the Donald Trump magnet. Because they're scared that if they do, they lose that 87% of Republicans. I haven't met this 87%, but apparently parts of America have been sucked into Donald Trump's gravity. So the Congress people, rather than do what's right to save the Republican Party and its morals and what it stands for and its conservatism and its fiscal responsibilities, rather than that, they go by the numbers of popularity in the polls. I think Republicans really realize in the back of their heads that 87% of Republicans is not going to do the trick for the next election. It's not going to come close. What would be the worst thing that would happen? What would be the worst thing that would happen if the Republican Congress all of a sudden turned on Donald Trump and said, you got too much baggage? You know that phrase, you're like, you got too much baggage. I can't deal with you. You just have too much baggage. This guy's got like more baggage than an airport. He's got too much baggage. And Republican Congress people and even Republican supporters and Trump supporters, they know he's got too much baggage. They wish he'd shut up. They wish he stopped tweeting. They wish that he stopped shooting himself in the foot and doing stupid things and saying stupid things. They all know it. But they stand behind him anyway. Here's what would happen if you didn't stand behind him. Trump would be exposed for exactly who he is. Pence, the vice president, will become president. As much as I disagree with his policies, Pence is more moral than Donald is. Has experience. I could live with Pence. Not well, but I could live with him. He's got some diplomat qualities about him. I think he cares about people. Trump doesn't even care about animals, much less people. All he cares about is himself. And we all know that. Pence would be president. The Republican Party would end up being what it really is, what it really stands for. It would reorganize. It would gain strength. Problem is, you've been sucked so deep into Trump's gravity sucking orbit that the road back to normality for the Republican Party is a long one now. But at some point, you're going to have to start that road. At some point, you know that you are going to have to start that road. The Republican Party cannot be the Trump Party. You've given it up to this man. And you know that. So do what's right. Do the right thing, as Spike Lee would say. And do what it takes to get your party back. As much as I disagreed on its policies, it had some substantial groundwork. It was an operating political party. Now it is not. Now it's pure and simple target is to save Trump's ass when they know his ass is in trouble. You know it. You know it. You're scared of the Democratic Party taking over, but you're making it worse for yourself. You're pushing people to the Democratic Party. If you just started repairing your Republican Party by putting a fresh person at the top of the list, you'd start that road to recovery really quickly, and people might even be impressed that you took some action. Just saying. That's my new segment. I'm just saying. It's not a big deal. Anyway, hi.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
That was relaxing. All right, a little step into my personal life, and probably yours as well. I mentioned this last week, but it's coming to fruition. I got a call from, I hate to say this on the air, but I do a very honest show, really. Very personal, very honest show. And when I talk about myself, it opens you up to talk about yourself to somebody, not me. I don't care. But it just opens things up is all I'm saying. I got a call from my gastrointestinologist. I think I'm saying that right. Kind of don't care whether I am or not. I got a call from my gastro man. And it was a woman this time. And it was a receptionist from the gastro people saying, "Ron, it's time for your colonoscopy." No, say it isn't so, bozo. Yeah, it's time for my colonoscopy. I know. It's time to shove cameras up my ass, but not for a bad reason. In order to find the things that shouldn't be there, to rid myself of foreign anal objects. Objects that appear in the far reaches of my intestines. Little things in that little canal that perhaps grow on the side that need to be removed. I don't know that I have them. I don't know that I don't. Nobody pays daily visits into my colon. That is not a destination for a tour. however you want to spend your summer, we have a great idea. Rome? No. France? No. Ron's colon? Sounds like a good time. What is that, a river cruise? I mean, seriously. Anyway, it's time. I'm told that once every 5 to 6 years, I had it done once. A long time. Actually, it was more than 5 or 6 years ago. It was more than 10. So I'm really due. I'm due. Isn't that a horrible thing to say? Ron, colonoscopy, I'm due. It's not so much the cameras that they shove up my ass. It's the camera crew, man. There's this one guy just doesn't shower. It's disgusting. No, it's not the camera. It's not shoving it up my tube because I'm knocked out, and I'm knocked out very peacefully with that Michael Jackson drug that didn't work out too well for Michael Jackson. But that's the drug that they give you. It's the preparation thing. And I said to the gastro people, I said, can't you invent something that's tasty that will rid my body of everything? Can't you make it something that's I know it doesn't have to be delightful, but don't make it so gut-wrenchingly, horribly disgusting. It's drinking the prep the night before. That's the problem. That's the problem. Sounded like that's the problem. So I said to them, isn't there some other way? And they said, yeah, there's a thing called a Cologuard or something there where you take your feces there and you send it in the mail, which is something I thought was illegal, to this company, and they'll check it out and they'll see if there's blood in your stool and all that kind of stuff, and maybe that's good enough. I said, well, you know, I get it, but that doesn't really take a camera and look inside and see the polyps or anything, so maybe that isn't the best way to do it. So I scheduled it. Yes, I scheduled it. Scheduling a colonoscopy is very different than scheduling a vacation, although there are many similarities. I know that I'm going to be incapacitated for a while, which is the same thing as going on vacation. I won't be available, so to speak. It's just traumatic, man. It's traumatic. Anyway, I've scheduled it, and I won't tell you when it is because it's none of your business, but I'm going to turn this into like a public service thing for you, too. I don't know how old you are. When you turn 50, you're supposed to have your first colonoscopy, and your primary care physician should be recommending that at the age of 50, for some even earlier. And your first one is usually interesting because you've had all of your life to build up these silly little polyps, and they usually have to be removed, and they're usually incidental. They're usually not a cancerous thing, but they should be removed. They shouldn't be hanging around in there. No one should be hanging around in there, by the way. That should be a clear tube. I wonder why it's the gastroenterologists that give you the colonoscopies. Why can't it be a plumber? Wouldn't they have better equipment? Although I'm not sure that I trust my plumber. Really? I mean, why can't I just drink Drano to clear out my system in a one-shot deal? Not that Drano would be wonderful for me, it'd probably be very harmful, but some product that would not be harmful that would be like Drano. One drink, you're empty, you know? Like you take one drink, and maybe 10 minutes later, you're sitting on the toilet, and you empty out. You know, why do I have to drink 55 gallons of this crap in order to clean myself out? There must be a better way. So the public service announcement is, if you're around 50, you should be getting your first colonoscopy. It really doesn't hurt. By the time you get it and schedule it, they might have a better way to clean your system out. But other than that, it's not a bad deal. And it should be done. It keeps you healthy. Your colon's a very important part of your life. I mean, you can't see in there. There's no flashlight that does it. Even that flashlight on TV, and they say you can see the light from 10 miles away, that's not even good for your colon. Do you know how many miles of colon and intestines you have in your body? 7,000 miles. I think I'm exaggerating, but it sounds good. No one's going to check me out on that. And if I'm wrong, what are you going to do, impeach me? Get a colonoscopy. And I'm asking you to do it because I have to do it. And if I have to do it, there's no reason why you shouldn't do it. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? Well, you're not. You're actually worse. So it's time, ladies and gentlemen. Just shut up.
Shut up!
And get a colonoscopy. If you do, You can have some ice cream after. How about that? Would you like that? I never had my tonsils taken out. I still have my tonsils. Look. I still have them. They never bothered me. I still got them. But when I was younger, my friends were having their tonsils removed because they had tonsillitis. That's itis of the tonsil. And it would be a fairly simple procedure. The tonsils would be removed. And then you could have ice cream. I never went through that. I've had ice cream, and I didn't have to have my tonsils removed, but I didn't want to tell that to the kids. Because little kids think, I can't have ice cream unless I have my tonsils removed. Well, you're just stupid. Yes, you can. You can have ice cream all the time and still have your tonsils. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Want to talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? Let's get rid of some of these fables immediately, shall we? That thing with the Humpty Dumpty with the egg sitting on the wall. I've been around for many, many decades. Never saw an egg sitting on the wall. Believe me. And if it fell off the wall, I don't think all the king's horses and all the king's men are going to go to the trouble of trying to put the egg back together. They'll just get another egg. And I don't think the king's horses and the men are going to show up anyway. They've got better things to do. They're getting colonoscopies in the castle. I wish I had a moat. A moat. A body of water surrounding my house. So if people wanted to get to my house, I'd have to lower the drawbridge. That would pose a problem for Amazon and the UPS guy. That was sexist. The UPS lady. I'm sorry. My bad. I guess I still got to get used to that. I want a moat. Closest I've gotten to a moat is an emoji, which I think is different. I only know one emoji. That's that smiley face one. I don't emoji frowny faces or now emojis of cars and things. I'm not into the emoji thing. I think I'm a little too mature to deal with little kid drawings in order to express myself emotionally. I think I'm a little beyond that. I think I'm out of kindergarten now. I'm old enough to get colonoscopies. I don't think I need to have little drawings of things to express myself, okay? I have the gift of speech. I know you're listening to this show and saying, that's the gift of speech? What better thing to do at this point than speak to a colonoscopy expert? Yes, I do have one. Hey, how are you today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Rajesh Kaswani joins us. He's a doctor. He's associate professor of medicine and gastroenterology and hepatology, all the kind of things I can't mention, can't pronounce. He's a medical director of quality for the Northwestern Medicine Digestive Health Center. And we're talking about preventing colorectal cancer. How prevalent is colorectal cancer?
Well, colon cancer is unfortunately still quite prevalent. It's actually the second leading cause of cancer death in men and women, as you may know. And so it's an important thing for us to be talking about. So I'm glad you're having me on. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, they've designated March as being the month for that, which is absolutely ridiculous because every day is, obviously. And we are, you know, when one gets older, they start going on a schedule of having colonoscopies, et cetera. Is that the method that is used in order to detect?
There's several ways to detect colon cancer. You're aware of colonoscopy, and in general, we recommend starting colonoscopy at age 50, although there's some guidelines that recommend starting at age 45. Everybody. There's some other things that you may have heard about. There's something called virtual colonoscopy, which is a radiology-based way to screen for colon cancer. And then there's some stool tests you may have seen ads for that look for blood in the stool that can detect colon cancer.
Okay.
In our preference is generally to recommend a colonoscopy approach, based approach, because that's the best test to prevent colon cancer. But the most important thing is to get screened somehow.
Okay. Yeah, I think most people would prefer not to. It's not the actual exercise of going in there with the cameras. It's the cleaning out of the system that drives people nuts. I've wondered, Doctor, a little bit off topic here, but why some method has not been developed where you can drink something and it doesn't affect you like this so much.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a way that you can clean your colon out without it affecting you somewhat. The main purpose of that regimen to clean yourself out before the colon is because some polyps, which are the precancerous growths that lead to cancer, are relatively hard to detect.
Yeah.
So it's actually really important to get that extremely clean colon so that your doctor can try to find those precancerous polyps and remove them.
Yeah.
And so it may not be very palatable, but that, as you mentioned, is probably the worst part of the whole procedure.
That's
the rest
right.
of it's actually quite easy for the patient.
No, that's true. That's true. Actually, it's quite enjoyable, but we don't want to go there. Why don't people do the other forms of screening, and then if something is found, then you go for the full colonoscopy? Is it because the other forms of screening are not that complete?
And I want to emphasize the most important thing that, you know, we can recommend today is that they get screened somehow. The test that's best at detecting the precancerous lesions called polyps is colonoscopy.
Yeah.
The stool-based tests, which you hear a lot about, are very, very good at detecting colon cancer.
Yeah.
Our preference here at this institution is really try to emphasize preventing the cancer mm-hmm. and not necessarily just detecting cancer. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you do, you need to find a way to get screened.
Right.
What I tell patients is if they're willing to get a colonoscopy, which most people are, colonoscopy is a superior test to preventing colon cancer. Huh. If they're not willing to get colonoscopy, then we need to consider other tests like the stool test, which is probably the other dominant method of getting screened these days.
Okay. All right. Once detected one way or the other, I assume that if it is detected, then treatment is always successful. But if you wait and you don't detect it, then it becomes more complicated.
Yeah, we're very lucky that if someone is detected with an early colon cancer, we actually have really good treatments. Obviously, we don't want people to get to that colon cancer stage, but luckily it's not a death sentence. We have very good treatments that are surgical, chemotherapy, and then minimally invasive treatments. And so there's a lot of options we have for people with early detection of colon cancer.
Mm.
What we really want to avoid is people who get detected at a late stage where the colon cancer is no longer curable.
Yeah.
Because this is a relatively treatable cancer compared to some of the other ones we have to deal with in our profession.
All right. So there's no way of detecting the polyps other than the actual colonoscopy.
So some of the stool-based testing detects about half of polyps, and so it's about half as good as colonoscopy detecting polyps.
Yeah.
And then the other tests that are not as widely utilized, they're okay at looking for polyps. The only test that can detect and remove polyps before they become cancer is colonoscopy.
Right. So in other words, so if you did one of the alternative ones and it showed some possibilities, you'd have to have the colonoscopy anyway in order to remove the polyps. And that could be done all at once.
That's right.
If that's the case, yeah, okay. I got you.
Right. And again, I don't want to be just an advocate for one thing. So
right.
I think colonoscopy is great, and I think it's great for preventing cancer. But if we could emphasize one thing, that you just got to find something that you or your loved one will do.
Yeah. And this should be how frequently is this looked at? I know that starting at 45 or 50, you begin the process. I think most people, or a lot of people, when they have their first ones, find some kind of something because it's the first one. It's been quite a while since you were born. After that, how frequently does it have to occur?
Yeah, so if you do have a normal colonoscopy, then you come back in 10 years, unless you have a family history, and that's something else to be, you know, cognizant of whether or not you have any family history of colon problems.
Uh-huh.
But if you do have no family history and you have a normal colonoscopy, 10 years, otherwise it's 3 to 5 years for a colonoscopy.
Okay.
If you do a stool-based test, you come back every 1 to 3 years, depending on what kind of test you get.
All right. Oh, okay.
And as you mentioned, I just wanted to, you know, as you mentioned, if you have an abnormal stool-based test, then you do have to get a colonoscopy to confirm that
for
result.
Sure. That I quite understand. Okay. All right. How do we get more information about this?
Well, there's luckily a lot of information on the web, including the American Cancer Society. Our institution of Northwestern Medicine has a lot of information for patients. But I think the best thing you can do is talk to your primary care provider and say, I'm interested in getting screened for colon cancer, and work with them to get referred to the right gastroenterologist, and make sure that gastroenterologist has an attention to a high-quality colonoscopy that you're looking for.
Okay. Last question here. A lot of people are concerned about being knocked out for anything. Colonoscopies, I would assume, complications from thereof are nil or not.
It's extremely uncommon to have a significant complication from a colonoscopy. We generally see that only when we're removing a very high-risk precancerous polyp,
okay. Uh-huh.
Where there may be some bleeding.
Right.
I will tell you, that for people who don't like to get sedated or any sedation for their procedures, I've had a lot of physician colleagues and sort of high-powered executives who don't want to get sedation, uh-huh. and they actually do their colonoscopy without issues, without any sedation as well. It's actually a relatively easy test to do.
Oh, those are bold people. You didn't give them a shot of whiskey or anything, or just, right, wow.
I don't know what they do before they get here. I just know when they get here, they're comfortable doing the procedure.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your time today, Doctor. I appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, this has been a show that will live on in infamy because it was recorded, and as they all are. Get a colonoscopy. And I'm not saying schedule it. Get it right now. Call somebody up. Doesn't have to be a doctor. Bend over and let's get to it. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. Why did I speak about colonoscopies today? Because politically, as a citizen of this country, I believe that I've been asked to bend over, open wide, and take it. And that's my analogy. I do wish you peace. I think we all need it. This is the closing music. The show will end within a matter of seconds.